Now, the departure of Joe Duffy from RTE late last month could serve as a catalyst for a reimagining of the Liveline brand. That is what the Irish Times reported this week. The paper went on to say that it understands that senior management in RTE are actively considering a major reboot of the Liveline brand rather than slotting in a replacement presenter. The article was written by Conor Pope of the Irish Times, who's on the line, and also we're joined by Eileen Cullerty, Assistant Professor at the School of Communications in DCU. And before we talk to you both, we did ask the people of Naas in County Kildare whether they thought it would be a good idea to change the format of Liveline.
I mean, if there's a new presenter, it's only fair that maybe they change the format a little bit to suit the new presenter and maybe vamp it up a little bit. It has been very good and it has been excellent over the years, but maybe a change is needed and move with the times and maybe have a new format and let somebody else put their mark on it for a change.
I actually think that's a good thing at this stage, because is it a little bit tired? A tired format? Personally, I'd often reach to the button to turn Joe off, because it's a bit of a downer most of the time, the whine line. So I would be in agreement with that. Have a review of it now. The daily after lunch programme, a little bit more positive vibe. I think it's probably a good idea.
I liked it. I didn't listen to it that much, but when I did, it was current. It was up to date. So I knew when I was listening to it, it was facts that I was being told. So changing it to what we need, what's current, what's happening. I liked what I was hearing when I did hear it, because it was factual.
Yeah, it could do with a change. Depends on what the change is. But yeah, it could be a bit more current to younger people, I think. Younger people's issues. Seems to be all mostly older people, I think. Like, my mother would listen to it all the time.
They should change it to be more lively, not as depressing as it had been in the past. A bit more light-hearted, not to be too serious all the time. Life is hard enough without being dragged down.
I think it worked well, and I think it only needs somebody to replace him who's capable of doing the good job that he did. No, I don't think they should change it. What would they change it to? No, I'm happy enough the way it was.
Happy enough the way it was. Those were some people in Naas in County Kildare speaking to our reporter Charlie McGinley, and we're joined now by Professor Eileen Cullerty of DCU, and Conor Pope from the Irish Times is on the line. And Conor, to you first, when you wrote that piece, you said that RTE management is actively considering a major reboot of the Liveline brand. What could that mean, aside from changing the presenter, which they are going to do? Do you expect the format of the programme to change?
Well, I suppose it's all very much up in the air at the moment, and I don't think there has been any definitive decisions taken by senior management at RTE. I think maybe some of the senior executives are looking at the departure of Joe Duffy as a catalyst for change. But I suppose the question that I would have, and I suspect a lot of your listeners would have, a change to what? Because I think it's important to stress the importance of Liveline over the last three decades or so. And it's not just a regular radio program. It has for many, many years provided a platform for normal people, if that's not the wrong phrase to use given the context of what we're talking about. But it is a platform, and not only has it served as a platform for incredibly serious issues like the tragic death of Susie Long and the horrific abuse experienced by many Irish people at industrial schools and mother and baby homes and institutions and all of that, that's that really important content that it has created and the stories that it has broken. It has also acted as a platform for more light-hearted stories like that almost hilarious segment when people were complaining about normal people when it was screened on the BBC during COVID and people were comparing it to pornography. And like, you know, and then there was the people more recently who were complaining about an ad for a women's razor that was deemed to be inappropriate. So it has those kinds of voices. And then it also serves as a platform for people, for consumers, for people who are looking for redress for small issues or issues that might seem small. And I think the really important thing is here is if you change it, you change it to what? Because I think RTE would be very, I would be very concerned that RTE would change it because they want to reinvigorate it and move with the times and capture maybe a new younger audience by chasing them down avenues that frankly RTE has probably no business exploring. And just to give you an example.
Is it not important to go after a younger audience? I looked at the figures, the listenership figures for Liveline. 10 years ago, it had 72,000 more listeners than it has today. So, you know, Is there not an obligation on the broadcaster as well to service younger listeners to go after what they want to hear?
100%. But just in terms of the decline in the figures, I think that's a reflection of a diffusion of the media landscape. So there's far more content across far more platforms today than there was a decade ago. Okay, so and you see that mirrored in the United States on late night television with the late night chat show hosts, and we can talk about that in a second, where there was a time when it was the only game in town. And the only way people could get a certain class of information was tuning into the radio or tuning into radio or tuning into television. Whereas now there's so many different platforms out there. And just to give you an example of that, there was an article in Time magazine last week when they outlined the 100 most influential people on social media platforms. And these are people who command an audience that runs into the hundreds of millions of people all over the world. And I read through the list and I hadn't heard of about 97 of the 100. So there's an entire world out there that is kind of exclusively focused on younger people. I don't know if it's the role of RTE, the national broadcaster, to chase them down all of those different avenues.
I want to go to Professor Eileen Cullity. Is Liveline still essential to its listeners? It has played a vital role over the years, giving people that voice where they otherwise mightn't have had one. But, I mean, has social media replaced that function for people now?
I think there's an important distinction between purpose and format. And the format of Liveline does belong to a different age, an age when most people couldn't participate in anything unless they wrote a letter to the newspaper or rang in a radio show. Now anybody can go online, and they do in volumes, and express their opinions. But those online spaces are not conducive to any kind of national dialogue. They tend to be, they prioritise the loudest voices. They're full of hate and misinformation, trolls and bots from other countries. The real purpose of Liveline, I think, at its very best, is facilitating or curating a national dialogue where we get to hear ordinary people and their different views, and facilitating disagreement in a civil way. Like, that's what we desperately need. So I think the real challenge for RTE is how to maintain that purpose, but find a format that, you know, resonates with people. And I disagree with Connor about young people. I think it's hugely important that RTE engages with young people.
But does that then not require a change to the format? Because even young people, the way they use phones is different. You know, they don't, and I mean, I'm generalising here, but they often prefer to text or to use voice notes than actually speak to somebody on the phone. And Liveline is a phone-in programme. So doesn't that create a barrier?
Exactly. And you have to go with where people are. So if you think about young people, they might go to Instagram or a TikTok. Older people, a lot of them are going to Facebook. That's where they're having conversations, where they're bringing their concerns. So I think what RTE could do is try, and it has to focus on organic conversations and concerns coming from the public, and then try to curate the conversation, then invite people to speak from that.
Would you have a concern about a change to the format of Liveline?
No, because I think change is inevitable. I do think also that, you know, a live phone-in show does have value and does reach and is accessible to a lot of people. But there has to be some way to connect and bridge. People are now in very fragmented media spaces. We need some kind of national space where people can hear each other. And online is a disaster for that.
Connor Pope, does RTE as a public service broadcaster not also have a duty to go where the audience is? And if some of Liveline's audience are going elsewhere, if they want something else, maybe it's entertainment or something lighter. You heard from that Vox Pop, people seem to, or at least some of them seem to want something, you know, a little less depressing or a little less heavy. Does RTE have a duty to provide that in that slot?
Well, it's got a duty to provide a mix of content in that slot, for absolutely sure. But I just want to make it clear, I wasn't suggesting for a second that RTE, as the national broadcaster, simply disengages from young people or ignores the needs or desires of young people. I'm just saying that the role that Liveline plays is important, and I don't think it should be going chasing down all sorts of avenues in search of the young people. Now, let me give you one example of what RTE might profitably do, and it's been something that's been done really well by the late night chat shows in the United States, because their audiences similarly are aging, and fewer people are watching Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or whatever it might be. So what they have done is they have created really meaningful content about those shows and focusing on those shows, and they've put it on social media platforms, be it TikTok or Instagram. And what that has done is it has opened up those late night chat show hosts and the content that they're creating to a much wider and much more youthful audience. And I think that is what Liveline should be looking at doing in the very first instance. So instead of just having a 15 second or a 17 second clip of a conversation that was happening on Liveline, maybe have a much more dedicated social media presence so that you're reaching those people whilst also serving the community that you have served so well for so long.
Eileen Colletti, how mindful does RTE have to be of its public service obligations when it comes to deciding what, if any, future changes might be made to the Liveline format?
I think that should be the foremost concern, because the worst case scenario would be to just chase sensationalism and outrage and turn Liveline into an outrage machine for viral clips. And a lot of media companies are going that route because they want to get the attention, but that isn't serving the kind of national space we need right now.
All right. Professor Eileen Colletti of DCU and Conor Pope of the Irish Times, thank you both for joining us. We did ask RTE management for a comment on this. A spokesperson said RTE looks forward to announcing Liveline's new presenter in the autumn. We've no further comment to make. We'll be back with more after this.